You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me. You know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
What's up, Square Pimp again on GYBB, Get Your Balls Back, WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. First thing and most, I want to say this, the Patreon is up.
That's
the
right.
The Patreon is up, finally, year after year. You guys have said that we changed your life. Now show me, goddammit.
Yes. Repay us for our help, for our gratitude.
Your life has got to be worth at least $22, $9 at the very least. So sign up for the Patreon. Patreon, what is it, Harry? Patreon?
Patreon.com/manschool202. And we're doing a lot of cool stuff up there. First of all, we're doing weekly bonus episodes for people. We're also doing some specials where we watch along. We watched Dating Around and 90 Day Fiance, and you can join us for that. So we're going to be doing a lot of bonus content up there and some other goodies too. And, you know, and there's also... You get, if you know, certain tiers, you get to talk to us. You know, we also answer your listener mails first. There's a lot of good stuff.
That's it. I want to shout out the first 20 people that signed up. I'm going to shout them. Every time somebody signs up, I'm going to try and shout them out. We got Drew Sears. AJ, thank you so much. Drew Sears, thank you so much. Jervis, thank you. Kelly Franklin, I appreciate you. Sadiq, thank you.
Yeah, Kenny, appreciate you.
Kenny DeFay, I appreciate you too. Kenji Zakora, George Stenman, thank you again. Michael Smith, Hardstyle Max, Omar Ellis, thank you. Ricardo, Michael K. Forbes, DJ Sneaker Freak.
DJ Sneaker Freak.
DJ
Sneaker
Freak.
DJ Sneaker Freak.
Ron Jones. Lydia Jaden. Thank you, darling. Noobs One. Anthony Mann. Marvin Boyd. Ignacio Rodriguez. And Charles Murphy. Thank you so much. Yo, I appreciate y'all. All the new Patreons, sign up. We're doing the bonus content back there. As we go, Harry, what's up? You ready to rock and roll? Because I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. And I'm excited.
I'm energized.
I'm excited because we have a very special guest on this show today. It's a special show today, Dante. And
yeah,
I know that we have said that 441 times before, but
this time we mean it.
This time
ready to rock and roll? Can we talk about your background today? I don't know what this is. Kanye West as a crossing guard.
It's just funny. You know what I mean? Stop. I feel like it might be necessary. It might come up in the course of our conversation.
Stop.
I might point to it.
Now, let me ask you, Andre, what is Kanye saying stop to? What is he suggesting that should be
hopefully
stopped?
Hopefully his campaign.
Okay. Hopefully the insanity.
I don't really know what else, nigga.
I'll tell you what stopped his meds. That's what stopped.
The meds probably because I don't too much trust in white coats. You know what I mean? Nigga probably needs something else. Probably need to go to Jamaica.
Need to go to see.
Like
go, you must go see the OBI woman. You know that?
Are you saying
I feel like that might work better? Kanye is black man. Come home.
Are you saying that Kanye needs to get his groove back? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm saying be around niggas.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That's also Kanye's campaign slogan, which is very confusing.
That is his slogan now.
Yeah.
You know? Be around niggas, yo.
Be around niggas.
So it's very confusing. But let's introduce the guest, somebody who is a good friend of mine for many years at this point.
My nigga,
who... somebody who I met through wrestling in a weird way, but this man is phenomenal and always fun. I'm always so excited and happy to see him when we're in the same space, and a lot of fun, but and also knowledgeable. The fabulous fashionista of New York City, my friend Darnell Mitchell, everybody. Give it up for Darnell Mitchell.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Darnell. I'm sorry I was late, man. The traffic was crazy. I appreciate you coming out, though, man. I'm so sorry.
Thank you for having me. I also want to point out, like, the Kanye West thing, hanging out with, he is hanging out with Armenian people, and Harry, you are Armenian, so it sounds like you're also part of the problem.
That's probably why he's out of his fucking mind.
Oh, yeah. I like Darnell. Fuck you, Harry.
Yeah, you know what? I hung out with a lot of Armenian people growing up, and I lost my shit, too. You know, I should have more sympathy for Kanye.
Anytime somebody puts a dick in that, in them Kardashians, they lose their fucking minds. Stay away. That is just their pussies is a cavernous.
Honestly, though, it doesn't even make sense to continue to fuck Kardashians now, because the doctors done made all the white women of like half the West Coast look like Kardashians.
You could just like
any mall. Standing next to a pumpkin, a spice, Starbucks. These bitches all look the same. They got the same doctor, same titty, same ass. Leave them Kardashians alone, nigga. Keep your pink roll.
You can date like an ethnic woman who just looks like that naturally.
That's true. Super easy. Yeah, without all those.
But some niggas like the plastic, though.
Touche.
Here's the thing.
See that sarcasm of like, fuck you, white bitches? Yeah. See how he did that?
I have nothing against colonizers. Nothing against colonizers. Whatsoever. It's nothing against. Fine. I fuck a lot of white men, so I can't. I like have to be aware of myself.
But that isn't that reparations. Come on.
When you think about it.
It is. I mean, and pay for my dinner.
Right. They've been fucking us forever. So why?
I don't like that. The whole. Fuck a white person's reparations, because that mean they good as money or they good as 40 acres and a mule. Fuck that. Give me my shit. Your white pussy ain't worth that much.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How about his white ass? How about that?
Yeah. Not even that. Fuck that too, nigga. Give me my money. Give Mitch his money. Mitch, where the nigga at? Tell him pay up.
Anyway, moving along. That went left. That went really left.
I guess what we're saying is stop fucking the Kardashians, because it's a curse. It's like being on the EA Sports cover at this point, on the Madden Sports cover. You're just cursed.
That shit. Or stop the shit doing. When they say Drake is at your game. For some reason, if Drake come to your game sitting courtside, you go,
you're Drake cursed. Yeah, you lose the playoff. Yeah, I heard that. Harry, how'd you guys meet?
We met through.
I said that like a girlfriend. I was like, "So how you guys meet?"
Like we're a couple too. Which listen, if I swung that way, I'd go with Darnell. I mean, he's fantastic. We met through Catalyst Wrestling. Darnell was like, he was in the wrestling. He was like half a foot in the wrestling at the time. Now he's like all the way in, and rightfully, I'm excited about it. And he'll tell you more about that, but. He was, he would do interviews and stuff for us, and he would host the podcast for a minute. And then, he was always amazingly dressed. And then I found out he had a professional background in actually, in fashion. And so I started doing a thing where, because I was like, I wanted to look my best, I would always ask his advice. Like right before I went on, I would be like, all right, I would bring like all my ties and
pocket squares,
And I go, which one? You know, you have a great mind like that. Why not take advantage? Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, exactly. I love wrestling, but like one of the things that I really love about wrestling is the connection between wrestling and fashion, because they're essentially the same fucking thing, right? So when you're watching wrestling,
wait. When you say they're essentially, how do you mean that?
Because when you see me. Like today, I'm very casual. This sweater is $300, but I'm very casual. I'm typically wearing a suit, and you automatically see me, you automatically have an impression of me because of the way I present myself. And that's wrestling, right? So when you come out of the ring, you see Stone Cold Steve Austin come out with fucking tight ass blue jean shorts and a leather vest. You think this motherfucker is going to whip somebody's ass.
Right.
So that's the two between.
Yeah. Right.
That's the correlation between the two.
You're putting that putting, you're communicating something with
your
dress.
It defines the character and what the character is, whoever the wrestler is. So
now, let me ask you this. Have you ever designed for wrestlers? Or no, have you ever done that?
So I'm not talented enough to design anything. What I do, so I'm a personal shopper. So I dress people for a living. So I've dressed people.
Stylist. You're a stylist.
I'm a stylist. Yeah, I've dressed like, you know, billionaires. I've dressed like celebrities for like the Grammys, the Oscars. I've done everything, and I've worked for different companies, and I do it freelance. Mm-hmm. But for wrestling, what I've done a couple of times, just because I think wrestling needs it, is what their character is outside of their gear in the ring. Because right. I think that you're always should be showcasing your character and who you are.
What
so
is
I've
that
done
you call, Harry?
Reps.
What do they call it? What's the terminology when you break character? What do they call it?
Break kayfabe or shooting? When you shoot?
No. There's a wrestling terminology. You told me that when somebody talks about the inner talk within the.
It's called shooting.
Is that the fourth word?
Or shooting. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A shoot. Yeah.
Is it shooting?
It's called a shoot. Like
I remember you saying another.
It's either breaking kayfabe or
kayfabe. Kayfabe. Yeah. That was it.
Or talking. They also call it, you know, a shoot. So like a shoot is like legitimate. Like shoot fighting is where it comes from.
Right.
And
right.
What is all of this?
Breaking kayfabe. So,
the wrestling term.
Follow me, because I'm going to tell you, because I know now. So, you know, the character will have is, like, say, Undertaker. He's never not supposed to be Undertaker.
Like, back even in the when day, he's especially,
at the, when
yeah.
When he's at the Costco, he's supposed to be the Undertaker.
Okay.
And then
he
when
can't
you
just wear regular shit.
Yeah, he can't wear Crocs. You know what I mean?
Right.
He can't wear
basketball shorts.
Well, but that's like the weird thing about wrestling now is because everyone has fucking social media. So the Undertaker is a perfect example. He has an Instagram, like where like he's very Trump supportive, and like we've realized it. Yeah, we realized it.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like. Yeah, it does. It's like he's an old white man from Texas. Of course
it's
he is.
Uneducated white dudes. That's his 80%. That's
exactly. It's really just uneducated, because there's motherfuckers that graduated some type of dumbass.
Yeah, but I'm saying
his biggest base is
uneducated, true. Uneducated white men. That's where he's killing it.
And right also, just because you went to school doesn't mean that you're actually educated.
True.
Exactly my point. That's
true, but that's but his. That goes into a different category. So when you go educated white men, Biden is up, I think, like 60%, something like that, 60, 36 or something like that.
Just defining it by the demo
by what
schooling.
It is. But,
definitely, we've met plenty of assholes with fucking master's degrees.
Master's degrees and can't put two sentences. I won't say can't put two sentences together, but it's more like a situation where you have this education and you have this inability to make your to take your lessons and make them practical, to have a practical understanding of how to apply those particular things. It's a funny thing is when I was a male stripper before all of this, and when I looked at the business is weird, because it's stripping is kind of the same as wrestling as well. It's like you create this character and then you market this character, and depending on how you can't force it, because it's like they have to genuinely like what you're doing, and it's a very organic thing. And so when I first looked at when I first started stripping, which was like 89, the previous guys before me were all they used to dress like wrestlers. Like they would have a full white body lace suit with the ass cheeks out.
I'm here for Brutus the Barber Beefcake. That was all Brutus.
With a purple boa. They would do a zebra full length jacket with a purple fake fur collar.
Just zoom in and out there, Dante, for a second, just to fix the blur on your camera. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt the rant.
Sorry.
But yeah, so they would dress up like.
I didn't want to interrupt the rant.
No, I didn't.
So it was a situation where there was these elaborate things, and when I came and I saw that what they weren't really doing was, you know, to understand attraction. The one thing about stripping is you have to understand how women perceive attraction; otherwise, you don't make any money. So I noticed that there was this fantasy thing, but there was no real connection to these characters. And so we started dressing the guys in real clothes as opposed to like sequence, purple sequence and stuff like this, all this elaborate thing. And the whole game changed because, I mean, you talk about 80s and the 90s, so everybody was wearing, you know, shoulder pads and stuff like that. But it was everybody looked like Christopher Williams or Albie Shaw or all the old school R&B, Belle Biv DeVoe, and they started doing
Keith
that.
Sweat.
And Keith Sweat. And so all of it, you know, the clothing became more natural. So you were trying to make a direct connection. So I understand what you're saying about fashion being that thing. It's a conversation. You're communicating certain things about you automatically, you know?
Yeah, it's also really interesting to hear it in that sort of context about wrestling too, because like it's interesting how much wrestling and fashion correlate with so many things that are happening in the world. Like that's a perfect example of like changing the idea of what stripping is with the times to make sure that you're actually, the whole point is that you're trying to get someone to be interested in you. So you have to change with the times. So that's really fascinating. Also, your friends sound amazing when they're purple boas.
Oh yeah. That was the whole the previous order, and then it kind of needed to change.
You know what? That's similar to Dante. There was a time when wrestling in the WWE in the 80s, it was very character driven. Everyone had to have a character, like literally to the point where some of the guys, you know, Jake the Snake had to carry a snake, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat had to carry a dragon, but even like further than that, there were guys like Duke the Dumpster Drossi.
He had a kimono dragon.
Apologies.
I don't know if it was a kimono dragon because they're poisonous or some shit.
I think
it was like Game of Thrones. He came out with like three different dragons on him.
It was crazy. And he had a dragon suit and shit. Like, and he's fucking,
but it was like the Big Boss Man. He was a cop, so his name was the Big Boss Man. And it was very character driven. But
so
then they
keep forgetting Andre didn't grow up in the era.
80s?
Yeah.
How old are you, Andre?
27.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Darnell got heat flashes.
I got dizzy.
Darnell got the vapors.
I got a little I'm a little verklempt. But
Dante, they had to change, like that wasn't working anymore.
Right.
And so they had to change it to more realistic characters.
I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the interesting thing is wrestling is so American, or at least, you know, our version of it is so big. You know, I shouldn't say that because anywhere you go, I just watched this special on the African wrestling, they like do hardcore African wrestling.
That was there before. That's like,
but I mean, I'm talking about
time.
I'm talking about real like professional wrestling with not historical wrestling. I know what you mean.
Like the luchador shit.
Yes, in Africa, and they do voodoo. So there's voodoo in the scripts
in like, Africa.
Son, this one wrestler has a twin brother, and one of them fights, but the other one is like a voodoo prince.
Oh, that sounds
awesome.
When the dude's kicking his ass, all of a sudden the dude start doing some voodoo shit, and then his opponent freezes up, right, and he falls out, and they cover him over with a blanket, and when they lift it up, there's a pig runs out into the village, out the ring. Yo, it's lit. They have voodoo queens and all kinds of shit. But my point being is those images are so American. So there was a time when you had your Hulk Hogan, drink your milk, say your prayers, do your push-ups. Right. And then you had the bad guy, which was Black Jack Mulligan or Nikolai Volkov when we had the Cold War. And Iron Sheik when it was the Middle East. And then Sergeant Slaughter was basically the Boogaloo right now. Sergeant Slaughter would be planning to kidnap a governor and have her killed.
That's
so
true.
They
Sergeant Slaughter would be leading a militia of out of shape men.
Yeah. But what was funny is that it got to a point where I think even in film, there's no, when you look at great film now, there's never this guy's the good guy, this guy's the bad guy. All the great series and stuff that we watch, it's a human being who's trying to find
They're a little more complicated. Balance. The characters are more complicated.
So much more layered. I remember the Shield, the cop was a dirtbag, cheated on his wife, was child support, he was a drunk, but then he would catch a pedophile and then smash his face on the grill.
Chris Hansen. It also, it correlates to even the conversation that we're having before we even recorded, but Harry and I, about Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad's a perfect example of that.
Yes.
Because Walter White is a piece of shit, but people love him. It's like, he killed the person. But he wasn't the best, but people love him.
But I think that's the layers of it is that here's a dude who did everything to take care of his family, but then it was a situation where, okay, but I'm a bad motherfucker. I want the problem. So it became this egotistical thing.
Yeah, he got lost in the sauce of
Heisenberg.
and you find any good film now has those dimensions.
Sure.
And so when that happened, I think wrestling changed, and now they love The Rock, but The Rock was supposed to be a crack dealer.
At first, yeah.
So think about it. The Versace shirts, the
gold chains. That's why they call him The Rock, because he's a crack rock.
The Rock. It might be.
That was part of it, but yeah, he was in the Nation of Domination, and they were kind of technically a gang, even though it was also Nation.
Dwayne Crack Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
and you would think. here's the thing: you would think, but if
you
really
smell what I'm cooking, I'm high as shit if I can smell it, nigga.
If you really think about it, Stone Cold was the first Trump supporters. That was the stereotype. Give me my guns. I'm going against the establishment. You know,
Vince McMahon. That's a really good analogy, actually.
Yeah, that's why they love it. It's the same. So what I think wrestling has always done is it's found what the real conflicts are, and then inserted them into scripts with wrestling, you know?
They do that now? I don't think they do that now.
It's a little less now, but every once in a while, they still try to find whatever. But especially back then, it was whatever international conflict was going on. It was the Russian. So, you know, you'd have to have a Russian who was the enemy, you know, if it was.
Well, right now they have Retribution, which is a bunch of wrestlers who are fighting against the establishment, and they wear masks and they wear black hoodies, and they just destroy everything, and they're all people of color.
Now it's anonymous or
it's Antifa, literally right? It's literally Antifa, and and the leader is a Muslim man, a Muslim man who also in real life used to be a cop. There's so many analogies to it, and I don't think some people think it's a bad thing, but I think that like all entertainment, it should have some sort of correlation to what's happening right now.
It's good. You want it to be relevant. We as comics, we hate comedy. I mean, some stuff is just funny, but when you really go, wow, that was some shit right there. Billy Burr did the Saturday Night Live, and his opening monologue.
Yeah. It's so good. It's really good.
Whipping their ass. And then when he said, white women, you bathed in the blood. you bathed in the blood money. I was like, woof. But I mean, you know, when it's relevant, I think it comes to a real place, which goes back to what we talk about on the show in terms of relationships and attractiveness. There's an authenticity in wearing certain things that fit who you are, and there's an incongruent. When there's an incongruency, you don't look right, and so you, as a stylist, is looking at people, and you're feeling what they represent, what you're trying to communicate, but you're trying to enhance the aspects of their personality that you feel is what fits. Because when there's any inconsistency, people, it's a weird thing. About when I talk about inconsistency, a lot of times it's being read as deceptiveness, because you're not really decisive. So why are you not being decisive? Then you're deceptive, and deceptive, it feels dangerous because it's unknown and dangerous. If you're is unsafe, and unsafe is unattractive, right?
Yep.
Yeah, especially for women.
unless she's an abusive woman and she's looking for this and she's keying into on the fact that this motherfucker is not, doesn't have real balance. And that's what she's looking for that abuse, because she can see those cues too. So it's interesting, you know, when you talk about designing and that you're communicating through garments and clothes, you know?
Yeah. I think for men, especially heterosexual men, I think they sometimes don't realize how important that their presentation actually is and how much of a difference that this sort of confidence will actually have an effect on everything in their life.
Right.
When I typically in a former job, you know, I was appointment based and it was a really big company, and you would come in and like, we would have a 20-minute conversation about who you were as a person. And the things I would ask you was, do you like sports? Do you know, what movies do you watch? What do you do in your free time? And they're like, why? And I'm like, because all of this is me figuring out who the fuck you are. Right. Because I look sickening. Always. Right. I look fabulous. But I don't want to dress you how I dress, because I know how I dress. And I know what I want to represent. I want to make sure that I'm figuring out who you are. And we work together to construct a wardrobe that represents you in the correct way, so that you can put your best foot forward in a relationship, and you can put your best foot forward when you're going out in the dating scene.
I mean, it's weird because you don't know me, but I mean, I stay with a fur coat. Like, I'll do a baby. I got a baby blue fox, 3/4 fox that I wear, but there's a level of confidence that you have to have in order to wear it. You know what I mean? You can't feel I don't feel uncomfortable in it. Even if I've come into a comedy club and they were like, and I go, yeah, what's the matter? Man, you got a coat. I know I have a coat. Yeah. And then it's like, well, but it's blue. And I'm like, yeah. And then they just go, okay, I guess he's comfortable with it. I guess we'll move on, you know?
It's why I don't really believe in the phrases of like fashion faux pas, because I don't really think there is a fashion faux pas. You can wear whatever the fuck you want to wear. Yeah. I see people walking down the street with like bright orange shirts with yellow pants and bright red cowboy boots. And I go, man, I would never wear that. But this motherfucker is so goddamn confident walking down the street. So therefore he looks great.
How fashion minded is it that people take those kind of risks, those kind of fashion risks? Like, I'm saying, when you see somebody with orange pants and yellow cowboy boots and a pink shirt, and they're wearing this with a jacket and they're walking with that, isn't that the thing that where people go, man, like, yo, it becomes a fashion statement. And almost, if people accept it, it actually becomes a standard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think that it's also still correlates to what your personality is and who you are. Because if you are someone that's a little bit more subdued, I don't think that you're representing yourself if you're out here wearing that, because that's not who you are.
Right.
You know, I know that in fashion, it's really important to like that you have fashion trends and things like that, because everything does change. It's like, this is in the moment right now. This is in the moment. And I'm a big believer of classic things for everybody with your bursts of personality infused into that. Because it's just, I don't see the point in dressing trendy, because I think it's just counterproductive, because eventually that trend will end. But I try to tell people to not necessarily get their inspiration from other people they see. I don't mind saying like, hey, what's your favorite movie character? Right. You know?
Yeah.
We can get little hints of it. It's always James Bond. James Bond. Everyone always says that. They're like, I want to look like James Bond.
Favorite movie?
Or like movie inspiration for your fashion. They say James Bond all the time. And I'm like, well, honey, like, you don't look like Daniel Craig, but we'll take little bits of that, and I'll figure out who you are based off of that, and we'll work together. I don't believe in a partner being involved in that conversation. So if you come with a partner, I do make the partner stay away, because you're going to listen to their influence over figuring out where you're at.
That's interesting. And what's the worst sort of influence you've kind of seen with that, actually, with like somebody else influencing the fashion?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I know a dude that was running around dressed like Michael Jackson, worked at the library. And he dressed like White Sox, high waters.
Like, hey, do you have the glove. New John Grisham novel? Hold on. And then he moonwalks away to go get it.
That would make the library so much more fun. Yeah.
It really would, actually.
Through the aisles.
So he had the...
Every time he walks up those stairs
skinny
to get
tie,
the...
He had the skinny tie. This thing.
When he walks up the stairs, they light up one at a time on those little ladders to get the book.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Get up to Barnes & Noble some more if a nigga was moonwalking or light upstairs.
How about... No.
Come on now. You're not having fun.
I want him to work in Grey Papaya.
Yeah.
Moonwalking nigga working at? I'm pulling up.
You go, yo, let me get two francs with mustard and sauerkraut.
This nigga just moonwalk with his...
I don't think there's a job that a moonwalk wouldn't make more interesting to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah, but check it out. If he could moonwalk backwards and do the mustard forward, like ISO. Like,
I would tip him so much. I honestly would.
ISO.
But what's the worst you've seen, Darnell, like influence from like a spouse or a partner?
Oh, like when they're shopping together?
Yeah.
When the guys just say, I don't know, whatever she wants.
Yeah. Oh,
and then I'm really good at it, like sort of diverting someone, and then I like give them something to do. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I give them homework to make them feel like they're part of it.
A size shirt or something.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Like, go pick some things out for me. And then I go, look, that's not how this works. Like, I need to know who you are. Like, you know, there, a lot of times I help guys who are super nerdy and, you know, their significant other is like, yeah, all he wants to wear is comic book shirts. It's like, okay, who gives a shit, girl? Like, we can elevate that as much as possible because I love fucking comic book shirts. Underneath this, I'm wearing a goddamn comic book shirt. Who gives a shit? Like, that's who you are. And if you're not allowing, and if your content thing is my partner wears these things that show his interest and I don't like it, baby, do you like your partner?
Right.
Like, let them figure out, there's a way to elevate everything, right? You know, I don't, like, let's not wear ratty tees and all that other stuff. Let's put a little bit more pride in yourself. But we can elevate someone's personality very easily via their clothes. And I want you to make a decision. If you can't make a decision and your partner is the only one that's making decisions, I don't think you need me.
Right.
I think you need to just go shop with your partner.
I used to,
tell people no all the time. I'm a big fan of saying, this is not for me. This communication is not for me because I'm going to make my money. But like my whole point is like I really, really care about making people feel comfortable and confident and great. And I won't do that. And I can't do that if your partner is not allowing me to do so.
I guess what you're saying, there's a level of credibility. And I mean, this is interesting because all of these things are the things that make you attractive as a human being is the fact that it's interesting how people look at possessions and money and prestige as the most important thing. But you have people who are filthy rich, have all the possessions in the world, and then they're putting a gun in their mouth because they're unhappy. So it's an interesting thing when you look at some of the things that are most that we all cherish as friends, as human beings, is people who tell the truth, people who have a level of integrity, who just won't do anything for anybody at any time with no regard for anybody else, and to have empathy about what the person you're socially interacting with is going through. And if you, which we call ACE, it's authenticity, credibility, and empathy. And what's interesting about that is just that even your credibility is to say what I do, in essence, you're saying what I do as a stylist is magnificent and it's worth this. And I'm not willing to put up with, I'm not willing to take any less than that. And I don't mean just the dollar amount, but even in terms of the cooperation, because if it's an artistic expression and you're giving off, you're trying to make art, because I mean, that's really what you're doing. You're taking this person and clothes and you're taking a palette and you're creating art. And in the context of that art, you want to be authentic. You want to be credible in that. And because you give a fuck about it, you're allowed to charge more.
Yep.
Because you go, because people don't always know what your worth is. You have to tell them what your worth is.
Yep.
And it's an interesting thing that how that is a juxtaposition between the person that you're styling and the person and you personally. Like I say, it's like I'll do consultations with dudes and a guy, I had a dude, he was like trying to find, get his mother's, like he was looking for women like his mother so he could get his mother's love. Like he was, you know, ultimately
he was trying to find a girl.
No. I could just, well, okay. So you have to read between the lines. What it is here's a guy who keeps dating women just like his mom when he describes the girl.
The first way you said it was like he was searching for it. The second way sounded like that's happenstance. Like he just so happens to keep finding that woman versus
I don't think that's still happenstance. I think that you make a deliberate choice to find people like, based off of someone else.
Yeah, it's a you know, Dre, it's like a magnetic.
It's a psychological thing.
It's, you know, it's like we always it's an Oedipus thing too, but that's not necessarily. But it's like your relationship with women has a lot to do with your relationship with your mother.
That makes sense.
Here's an interesting thing.
I got some thinking to do. Yeah, I'll be right back, guys. I got some phone calls to make.
That's what we've been working on the last 8 years, Harry. Yeah. So that relationship is how you relate to women. So if you a lot and now I mean you can as you become an adult you can go in different directions, but that is your relationship with women. So what happens is you start to want relationships and you're trying to get into a relationship, you tend to, because those that relationship feels the most natural in terms of men and women. You know, that feels natural. So if your mom is abusive, then you go out and you find abusive women. Or you consistently find abusive women.
Or the same way, if all you saw was a lack of emotional or sort of physical affection between your mother and your father, right. You might not be a person that liked physical affection because you never saw it. You never knew that was one of the love languages in the world.
Absolutely. Right. We're just modeling. And so this dude was, I was talking to the dude and the dude's mom was, she had 5 different kids, 4 different baby fathers. She was, you know, all of a sudden she says, you know, she's heavy in the church now. And so I start putting the pieces together, and the pieces of this is his mom was wild out. She was wild for the night. Right, she
kept knocking
many nights. She got and I go. Oh,
this
I go,
is starting
mom.
To sound familiar again. Are we still talking about my mom or what?
No. Not your mom. All
right.
But I was like, dog. I said, you know, you call me for the truth, and I was, look, your mom's a hoe. That's what it is. Your mom's a hoe, and you gotta understand. So, but I'm saying, in every relationship that she's been in, she's never been able to pick a good man. Now, because his mom, the guy that his mom fell in love with on the real tip, the one that out of the 5 that she really loved, he saw that she was crazy and left, right? And so he looks like his dad, and so she's abusive, overly abusive to him because she sees his dad. All of this is going on that he has no idea, and he's, you ain't this, you ain't ever going to be nothing in it. And I had to tell him, I said, you got to look at the source, where the source is coming from. And your mother has never picked a good man ever in her life, and the one that she did pick, which is your father, he left. So, She doesn't know how to make those picks. Tell you ain't shit because she don't know what's good. And
every
she doesn't
draft
know
choice she made went bust. Every single one of them, every signing, every trade, it all went bust. And she still wants to be the general manager.
And she's still picking.
Yeah.
And so you
the
go.
Bitch is James Dolan.
she doesn't get to make that decision. So it's interesting when you understand what your value is, you have to literally do that work in yourself so that you can do your job.
I know, relating it to fashion, and it's something that Dante had to really like grind into me. The weight thing really weighed on me like funny. Mentally.
And because, the pun part, too.
And the pun part. And the big pun part. Another pun. There we go. I'm on a roll here. Fat roll. Here we go. I got a million of them. Pounds, I mean. Anyhow. My point is, like, that weighed on me heavily mentally. Like, I couldn't dress certain ways because You know, I couldn't find clothes that fit right. So I kind of gave up on like looking really nice. And I, but you know, even as I started to lose weight and stuff, I still had that old mentality of like, you know, just wearing stuff off the rack and, you know, like little
things. Why don't you do what fat drug dealers do and just wear a full Nike tech suit and some Jordans? Bitches love that. I mean,
those are expensive. See, even that was too much for me, Andre. That was too fancy for me. I didn't deserve that in my head.
George is 140.
Yeah,
the crazy thing about that though is like when you are like a bigger size, you think that these decisions that you're making to buy things off the rack or whatever, or you need things that have more fabric or this or this or this, and all you really need to do is just figure out how your body lays and how certain things lay in your body, and you can look at like $1 million.
Oh sure, like, I mean even
satin, my nigga.
When I started getting things tailored, like Dante showed me about getting things tailored, it changed my life in the sense of I felt much better about myself because I just buy pants
and you just wear them
and they just don't. You go, why don't they look like? How come my pants don't look good? You know, I didn't even like what I was in, but you start learning little things about, you know, tapering the jeans and bringing them in and.
Everybody's not in the green part of the weight to fat ratio.
Right.
Fuck you, Dre. Gray, which you take your slacks off the rack and fit them on. You
right. What's that like, Dre, to just be able to buy something? You know,
point, that shit was complicated, though. When I was like 240, nigga, being the H&M was stressful. I was looking in that bitch like, all right, I got to go.
Yeah, but when you 240, when you 240 ripped, you know, it don't matter. You can wear a French apron, nigga.
Right.
It's a good point. But yeah, it's one of the things, especially gentlemen who are larger, the one thing they run away from, one word, and it's the fucking word slim.
Oh.
What did you say? Okay.
Yeah, I said color.
Oh, color too. Let me wear black and let me wear big things. And it's like, wait.
I don't want to be seen. They're going out. They're communicating. I don't want to be seen. And so if I'm going to, I'm going to slide into the back. I don't want people
sort
to
of,
notice.
But it's also part of it. You think it's slimming, which it is technically slimming because there's less visual there. So yeah, it would be a lot of, I've been throwing away so much stuff. It's all black that I've gotten rid of, but
that's like me. All my clothes is black. I just want to sink into the background.
Oh my God. Dante
like
is
camouflage.
I really want to bring Darnell out when you're back at the clubs and stuff to show him exactly what you showed up. But you show up in the gator boots and
I'm definitely part gay man, like fashion part gay man. I don't give a fuck. I will wear pointy toe python boots and a
coyote. I don't think that's your Dante. That's because you're Dominican, my nigga. Them fucking pointy boots.
Son, that's I'm a not really Dominican. Good.
Stop telling everybody I'm Dominican.
Tucked in polo shirt, like right, tight ass high waisted jeans. I live in Washington Heights. I live in Washington Heights. So I see it every day. Hey, D-Milo, motherfucker. D-Milo.
But them motherfuckers, they stay in some Gucci slippers. Yeah. They stay with their toes done. Them motherfuckers be having the silk shirts on. They don't even get none of the beer sweat on their shirt. They're just outside drinking Modelos and Dos Equis.
And smoking hookah.
Darnell, what do you think, like, for guys out there trying to be better with their fashion? Who want to up their game? Let's say somebody wants to improve their fashion game. What are the tips you think would be helpful to them to start out?
I think it's about knowing your body and your skin tone. White people, I love you so much. But there's a lot of colors you can't wear, and like. It's why black and brown bodies are better because you can wear everything. But it's like realizing what washes you out and what actually makes you look better in photographs and in person. It's figuring out what your strengths are and your weaknesses are. So there are certain parts of my body that I get very self-conscious about, and I know it. And so I make sure I do certain elements to hide away from it. One being I have like the longest arms in the world. So like while I'm small – things are cut very short for me. So right. I know that I have to spend a little extra money to get things tailored a little bit more, to maybe get custom shirts, things like that, things that help my body size. It's about knowing, you know, and say we were talking about, you know, just getting things tailored in general for men who are larger. It's about realizing that slimming things down actually slims you down too as well.
Right, right, right.
You're making yourself look bigger with all of this extra fabric.
You do got some long ass arms. I'm like, God damn, I thought I'm Freddy like Krueger was in the motherfucker. You know,
I just rewatched it like the other day. I have the longest fucking arms. It's so I can smack a bitch. But like, I know I have the longest arms, and I like, and I'm
question.
Honest and I'm truthful to myself. Women are not very truthful to themselves when they shop. It's very hard. It's very hard. Like, because I used to dress women as well. Because I
why
just
is it because they want to they pick clothes to look like what they want to perceive what they perceive yes. themselves as.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And I say, well, girl, you got hips. Like, what the?
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna. I can't shave them off. Like,
you need a gay friend to make you feel better.
They will go get them shit shaved off too.
What's your question, Dre?
Shit, it was about the clothes. Knowing the like the designer or the label, certain clothing cut their shit differently from other ones, wouldn't they? So like, I figured that I noticed like if something is a design by like a Japanese designer, it is no smaller. Chance.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Or if it's like
extra large is like a medium.
Armani shit. If it's like I'm not gonna fit. Or if it do fit, I'm gonna look like some old freak nigga. I'm gonna look like I was trying to strip because it's over tight.
Yeah.
That's a very good point because it's the reason why you can be a small to one brand and medium in another brand. Mm-hmm. So guys try to shop very easily and they're sort of like, all right, well, I'm a 32, so I'm a 32 everywhere. And it's like,
No, you're not.
It depends on where your rise is for that particular trouser. And like when guys used to come to my old job and I sold, you know, every single, well, I guess it doesn't matter. Like I used to be, because I don't work there anymore. I don't like saying my job because people are fucking weird. I used to work at Bloomingdale's as a personal shopper as well for a little bit. And I sold thousands of vendors because I sold everything. But like when a guy's like, hey, you know, I'm a little self-conscious about this area. I'm a little bit bigger. My first instinct isn't to go to fucking Theory. My first instinct is to go to Ralph Lauren. Because it's a more American sized cut and it's going to be more generous in the places that he feels subconscious for.
I'll remember knowing your shit is super smart
about knowing how every brand cuts.
Having lost weight, I will never forget who was there and who I could fit and who
J. Crew cuts a little bit more. J. Crew gives you a little bit more of a good range of like skinny too. Because I worked at J. Crew also as a personal shopper. Like, damn, nigga, do you know my whole life?
you don't know me. the devil's a liar.
they do give you a good range of sizes. I'm sorry, Harry, what were you saying about Ralph Lauren?
No, it's just I won't forget, even as I start losing weight here, I won't forget which stores did not give a fuck about the big man. H&M, you could go fuck yourself with your double XLs. I'm not gonna forget.
But where's H&M? Where's H&M from though?
Sweden, right? Aren't they from Sweden?
Swedish.
Yeah,
they're all super fucking tall and thin.
Yeah,
like that's who the body type is.
Years ago, they used to have this designer that made clothes for black men's asses was Willie Ware. Remember, I don't know if you ever heard of Willie Ware.
I didn't know Willie Ware.
So he was the first dude to cut pants for black men's asses. Like where it was full in the pants and big in the thighs and stuff like that.
That's also so actually a really good point too, because it connects to me saying that like women, you know, not dressing for their actual body size. Men are straight up. So like when I would talk to men, I'd be like, yo, do you have a big C? And they're like, what? And I was like, dude, you got a big ass. And he was like, yeah, man, my ass is fucking huge. And I have huge thighs. And I'm like, the man will say it, no problem. And I'm like, great. Because I need to know that. Because now I need to get things that cater to your ass. Like, usually when I get those calls, I'm like, whoop-wee, I can't wait to see.
But, said, I got a wagon, all right?
And it's fine. It's fine. But, like, you need to know so that I can base that shit based off of that. Men will tell you in a heartbeat, like,
because they don't put as much value. At least they don't put as much value on it as you know, as women do. You know,
what would you say, Darnell, for somebody like starting out? Like, again, doesn't have a lot of money. You know, a lot of people. I know when I was trying to get my shit together, I did not exactly have a ton of money.
The fucking Gap and Old Navy. Like, there we go. Don't shit on the Gap and Old Navy. The Gap uses for their denim, they use Japanese denim. Japanese denim is one of the best type of denims you can get, right? Because a lot of Japanese denim is also based off of American style looms from years ago. American looms, the way that we used to make jeans, are actually one of the most like heavy duty, durable types of cottons because they were made for people in the mines. And then we sold all those looms and then we started mass manufacturing denim. And a lot of Japanese companies bought all the old American looms. So they're actually like, very well constructed. There's a reason why you could go to Uniqlo and a jean will fit the exact same as long as you take care of it properly for 10 fucking years. But the Gap uses a lot of Japanese denim and their stuff is a little bit more durable. It's really inexpensive. There's always coupons. There's always on deals. Like, you can find the most basic, simple, easy things from those two companies at a, like, you can get nice shirts for like $9 and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like there's literally nothing wrong with that.
Thrift shopping.
Cause people, my apologies.
Thrift shopping too.
That was the next thing I was going to say. Thrift shopping. Thrift shopping becomes harder because it's so many different designers. And if you don't know the designers, there's a lot of sort of like
variables on the side.
Yeah. There's a lot of variables there, but you can, I see people walk out at thrift shop. Like, my favorite shirt is this beautiful Paul Smith white shirt with red roses all over it that I got in England, that it was the last one in a thrift shop for 10 fucking pounds. Mm. It's my favorite shirt, and it looks fantastic. And it was probably originally
in U.S.
It's like 14
it's
bucks.
It's like, about 1.3, something like that.
Yeah, so it's like, but like that shirt is literally like, it's Paul Smith, so it was probably $250.
If you put a little tailor on it, a little stitch here and there to size it up with a tailor and get it tailored, it's, you won't, I mean, if people don't really look at, it's more the fit and the whole piece of it as opposed to what it is. I mean, you know, there's always label chases, but
for me,
you know,
also
spend your money on tailoring over the amount of money that you spend in the clothes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've gotten great, like, these deals at Marshall. I love Marshall's and TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx, great.
If you could fit, you could get a pair of pants for whatever, $15, and maybe it costs you that same amount to get it tailored. Yeah. But you feel great. I'll never wear another pair of pants that's not tailored. Never in my life.
I broke Harry.
Yeah. Fuck that.
I'm going to break Andre soon.
You literally feel like...
I've never had a problem with that.
I don't know. But if
it's like, I'm perfect.
No. When I did a problem, it was like H&M. Or I was trying to wear some like slim, super slim skateboard jeans. If I stay in my lane, I'm good. Yeah. If I go I fit in, I have no problem. When I stay, I just do that. Keep it simple.
Yo, Harry, you want to shut it down and then keep it, do another, or you want to do a straight?
I mean, if Darnell will stay with us, we could do. We can continue on the Patreon, guys.
You got a hard out?
I need to be out by 7.
Oh, okay. So you know what? Let's shut this one down. We're gonna do listener mail on Patreon, but I think we can have you back at some point because this is so fucking fascinating.
There's a lot of
stuff
I wanted to talk about.
So amazing, and
thank you,
Darnell.
I'm sorry for the timing, man. I really would have liked to do another half on you at least.
That's what most men say to me.
let me close it out.
Well, Darnell, what do you want to any social media handles you want to get out there, anything you want to promote?
Alice, I want to promote people sending me money. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @DinoLicious. I do work for a specific company, but I actually do consultations online. So, like, with FaceTime, because I ain't getting sick for not a soul. And I'm here to, like, help people, like, figure out what they want and who they want to be. And it's really, really easy. But, you know, I think that I think at the end of the day, especially when we talk about like dressing and people who help you, is that we utilize that word because I'm not a seller. I don't sell to a fucking single soul. I'm here to help you to make sure that you feel good every single fucking day. I am the producer of a wrestling company called Uncanny Attractions. You know, we talked a lot about wrestling earlier in the podcast. And for me, as a Black queer person, wrestling, I would say wrestling doesn't like me as a person. And who gives a shit? I'm going to make it like me. And so our company primarily hires women, people of color, queer people for all roles. So that's Uncanny_Attract. We have merch coming out tomorrow. I'm really super excited about that. So on whatamaneuver.com. And thank you guys very, very much for having me. I feel so smart with my books. I feel like Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
I want to say thank you, Goldust. Anyway, Harry, talk to me.
You could check out Catalyst Wrestling, the company I work for. All the stuff is on the Fight app and on YouTube and Gas Digital, and all my stuff is at Harry Terjanian. But in addition to the Patreon, I do want you guys to check out the Man School 202 YouTube channel, where we're showing a lot of the videos are. You can see the video of this show if you're listening to it on iTunes. And also the Man School 202 Instagram page, Real Man School 202. We're going to be doing some more stuff there too, but we always appreciate more followers because we're trying to grow this thing and get it to the next level, and we're trying to help people.
Yeah. Dre, talk to me.
What's up, fuckers?
follow me, Andre D. Thompson, on all the stuff. All right.
All right. Cool. Just keep in mind, everybody, the Patreon is up. It's Harry, what's the Patreon link?
It's patreon.com/manschool202. And again, we're going to be doing bonus episodes and bonus content. And right now after this, we're going to go into a listener mail, and we're going to use the questions mostly from the people at Patreon who have hit us up. They get primary access. There's a lot of great stuff over there. And we're going to record listener mail right now after this is done. So you can go ahead and join us.
So, I mean, support us. Please support the Patreon. It's really important so we can keep doing what we do. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all. Yo, good one again. Peace out, y'all. Man School 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Terjanian and Andre D. Thompson, produced by Harry Terjanian, executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Terjanian, and Dante Nero.